Peace, peace. It's Curly Castro here. Just want to offer up my apologies for misgendering one Ezra Miller. I was not aware of an adjustment of their pronouns before I did the interview. So I did not have that knowledge before we did this interview / discussion. So my sincere apologies, and I don't want anybody to be offended any further. Thank you all.
White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of A Podcast Has No Name. This is our first episode of 2023. It's been a minute, man. It's really, really been a minute. My name is DJ Ambush, one of the original four. We have two returning guests. I love chopping it up with these brothers. Absolutely love chopping it up with these brothers. Ibrahim and Andre, what's good, y'all?
What's up? What's going on, brother? What's going on?
Oh man, we back. We back at it. We're going to talk some shit. and joining us for this episode, this is his first time on the show. But understand, in my hiatus, this is one of my coworkers, someone that I have been discussing all of this madness with, like pretty much 4 days a week. Ado, what's good? Ado with Toy Noise. What's up, B?
What's up? I'm Ado. I run a Instagram and partially sometimes a YouTube channel called Toy Noise. I talk about toys and movies and comic books. I love them all, and I'm excited to be here to chop it up with everybody.
So me and Ado have a symbiotic relationship in the way that he has been collecting Transformers for quite some time. And everyone knows I do my collecting of Marvel and McFarlane figures, DC figures as well. So, like, we kind of feed off of each other. We get each other hype. And unfortunately, it ends up with both of us spending money at times when we shouldn't.
Say, you probably make each other spend money, huh?
Bruh! But yeah. Then what happened was, like, I'll see some Transformers and be like, ooh, I need that. Ooh, and he'll be like, no, and this is what we do. I buy the Transformers. You buy the Marvel and DC stuff, and then that's it. We're collecting on each other's behalf. So we live vicariously through each other.
Yeah.
But he has an immense Transformers collection. It is ridiculous.
What's your poison, Ado? Are you the Hasbro stuff, or do you like the big, 3-0, all that?
It depends. It goes like mostly Hasbro, but recently I love getting a good third party upgrade for my figures. And it's only been recently that Hasbro has been making like a bunch of different characters that we wanted. So I have a few third party figures that are getting replaced here pretty soon. Nice. And probably sold. But we'll see. We'll see. Cause I be holding on to my figures for a very long time.
Yeah. Oh, so you buy and sell.
The selling is occasional. I have some figures that I definitely got a free Scorponok by accident once.
Crazy.
I bought it and then it didn't show up on time. And then I emailed them and then they sent me another one. And so now I have two, and one is still in box waiting to be sold. I just haven't sold it yet.
You sound like what's about to happen with me and this Dr. Voodoo I've been waiting for like, ooh. I don't know, a week and a half.
Dang.
This Funko I've been waiting for like, I don't know, like a week and a half.
It's a Funko?
Yeah.
Dude, been like, I've been seeing Dr. Voodoo all over the place. I wish you'd have told me. I would have just grabbed it.
I've seen Dr. Voodoo.
I think it's Walgreens.
Yeah.
Walgreens thing. So I just lie, and it was, unfortunately, I bought it. It's the same thing I got fed. His Marvel thing, so he's always sending me like text messages or images, like, oh, I just saw this. And then I'm online, I see this Dr. Voodoo, and I'm like, So then I buy it, right? Just impulse buy,
right?
And of course, once you do that, on Instagram, and I start getting all the ads. I start getting all these ads. Then I buy a Bishop. Then I'm like, you know what? I gotta stop. So I don't need to talk to y'all about any more toys. Don't get my damn toys. I see some of them behind me now. I was just like, I don't need any more. So once y'all talk, y'all gonna feed the beast. and I'm gonna start buying stuff. I don't need it. I have like a cat up there. I just sit. Plus, bro, please, more.
I would be remiss not to highlight one of the what's the best way I can put this? One of the joys of Instagram, scrolling and seeing what Ibrahim has been working on.
Bags.
Yes. Like, oh my God. My man's yes. customs are it, man. Off yes. the chain, bro.
Oh my God.
It's Thank just.
You,
whoo,
you guys like, see, I know this is audio, but I got a bunch of them back off, over my shoulder here. I got my cabinet. I got it. Let me just get that lit up real quick.
Oh, here we go.
Ibrahim has some of the most incredible Dog. Customs, like the Matrix scenes, and
yeah,
you just did a which I was surprised you did a Zorro, like
right.
Yo, I said to Morgan, I was like, "Yo, I'm looking at Antonio Banderas, like right. I'm looking at his face right here." And I know part of it, of course, part of it is projection, but like, no, this is him, dude.
Well, yeah, like, so a company called Blitzway, for those who aren't familiar, they do a lot of really great stuff, and they made a 1/6 scale Hot Toy style Mask of Zorro figure a couple years ago.
Wow.
And so people in, you know, the toy community will actually like either 3D scan some of that stuff nowadays and 3D print it, or they will make a cast of it, and then you can actually get shrinking resin that reduces in size as it cures. Ooh. So I got a hold of a little like a shrunk down version of the Blitzway unmasked Antonio Banderas head. So that's why it looks like him, because it's actually a sculpt of him. And then everything else I pretty much like kitbashed and made from scratch and stuff,
cutting
fabric and all that. Yeah, man, that's one that that's my favorite movie, The Mask of Zorro, like straight up, all time favorite.
Pick. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah,
and I just like I was like, I have the Blitzway one. I don't need to make a little one. And my boy, we just kept being like, bro, you just make it. And eventually, he broke me down. I was like, all right, I'm doing it. Now I'm making a horse for him, and you know,
yeah, see, Mask of Zorro made me care about the character. That made me care about Zorro. Mask of Zorro was so tough, y'all. So bro,
that movie hits so hard. Like it's the best like reboot of any character ever made, period. Like it gets everything right. The movie is funny, it's sexy, it's got like swashbuckling action, it's got you know, sword fights in all the right places, man. It's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
for sure.
All right, so obviously we need to have another episode about figures, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are here to discuss once more what the hell is going on in the DCEU. If I may, it's so crazy. I'm going to have so much fun with this. I'm going to quote The Rock. The hierarchy of power in the DC universe is about to change. Boy did it.
Boy, oh boy.
Boy did it.
Yes.
I don't think this is what he meant, guys. I don't think this is what he meant.
No.
No, I don't think so.
He wrote that with all kinds of positivity. He wrote that with his chest. And then he got rock bottomed.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He got rock bottomed.
He tore out the frame. Absolutely. We got Castro joining us. What up, sir?
What's up?
Your timing is impeccable. We just finished going through introductions real quick and...
I don't know none of y'all motherfuckers. I might know some of y'all by like voice, but yeah, what's up, y'all? I'm Curly Castro.
How you doing, man?
Originator of a podcast has no name.
Hey, hey,
what's going on? Yeah, like I think I don't know y'all. So
you might not. Yeah.
Andre look familiar.
I think brother, you might have seen Ibrahim in one of the promos.
I've seen you in the promo.
And Ada was first. This is his first show.
Ada, I've never met you. What's up, peace, brother?
Right. Yeah, good to meet you.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, good to meet you, man.
Like, so off the rip, you know, I want to quote The Rock. You know, the hierarchy of power in the DC universe is about to change. He got caught up. He got caught up in that. He got swept up in what he thought it was going to happen.
Man, I feel kind of bad for him, bro.
No.
Who do you feel worse for, The Rock or Henry Cavill?
We don't feel bad. Oh, Cavill all day.
Okay.
We don't feel bad for The Rock. The Rock thought he could come in here. Yo, I saw a four screen, right? Like on Twitter of like four pictures. And they said, these are four different movies. And it was The Rock in that dirty safari khaki thing. And I'm looking and I'm like, wait, I've seen three of these.
They're all the same movie.
If you pull back from your screen, it looks like, oh, it's just Jumanji or it's just, you know what I mean? But it really is. I'm like, nah. So I think The Rock tried to rock DC.
He attempted and failed.
And big fail. But we all know what the inherent thing with DC is. And I know we'll get into it. But why were y'all in a rush? Gotta catch up to Marvel. Marvel didn't catch up to Marvel. Marvel took its 10 years, right? Like, am I being weird? Marvel didn't catch up to Marvel. Like, Marvel starts with Spawn and the original Hulk.
Yeah.
This is the time period we're talking about to develop these things to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And DC was in a row.
Well, they also went in a completely different route. I mean, with Marvel, they started with a creative committee that had like comic book writers and consultants, right?
Exactly.
And Kevin Feige oversaw it, but he wasn't like a singular auteur, right? So with DC, when they tried to kick off their DCEU, they went to Snyder for Man of Steel, right? And he made a Zack Snyder movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they said, you know what? Why don't you do the rest of it too, right? Yeah, and everything they did from there was just like reactive, right? Deadpool came out. We got to change Suicide Squad. We got to make it funny.
Dark Universe, anybody? With the Vanity Fair?
Right.
that nobody was in the room together for? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here? And again, DC's big problem is, well, Marvel was almost going through that too with the first iterations of the Netflix shows. Remember, they had that other tyrant. Everybody knows that guy, Herc Merlot or whatever he was, and he was like a tyrant, and they split, and then Feige was handling that. That's where some of those bad decisions, shortening Defenders, throwing out the foot, all that. Anyway, my point is, they already have a successful universe.
So successful.
Very successful.
So successful.
The DC animated universe destroys what Marvel tries to do animated-wise. And Marvel does okay. You know, they're okay. You know what I'm saying?
There's some
Saturday morning, you can put it on like Muppet Babies. But DC destroys. And all you got to do is make those into live action. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how you win.
It's all you got to do, but... No.
So we're talking a little bit of Marvel DC comparison. I think this is a good time to discuss James Gunn. All right. Initially, when I heard James Gunn was going over to DC, I was excited. I did like the new Suicide Squad. I did like that. But I was also concerned. I was concerned because the way they brought him in, they were looking for their Kevin Feige. And even if you broke that shit down, like, it wasn't just him making all these decisions. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was a committee of very well knowledgeable people about the content, about the IP. They understood it.
There still is a committee.
Right. So it's not that I doubt James Gunn's ability to get the job done. I don't know how far away he is going to be as far as being hands-on with these projects. So what I don't want is a universe of the fucking Suicide Squad.
But what he comes from, he comes from a good team. He got traded from a good organization that knew what they were doing. So so the fact that he cleared house was like, okay, look, y'all, I was just over there with those guys. Whatever y'all doing over here is not working. Y'all are not, we're not doing it well. We need to scrap. Come on, this is scorched earth. When have you seen scorched earth and just wipe the slate clean, finished movies?
But it's not completely scorched though, right? There are some.
No, they keeping a couple, but it's really crumbs. It's
they're
literally
keeping
crumbs.
His stuff though, right? He's like, I'm wearing the same shoes that I brought over from Cincinnati or whatever, right?
They weren't gonna take down the Batman. It made too much money. That's sticking around.
Well, and his Peacemaker is probably, I know he died in
kind of middling
Suicide Squad.
The series did well, is what I heard.
The series did great. Peacemaker,
but the thing is that character exists in the same world as all the stuff that came before that he's about to wipe out. So it's more of this muddy continuity stuff. And the problem that what happens every time is you know, Hollywood is run by these execs who they're money people. They don't, you know, it's not about like, they don't care about, oh, but the purity of the character or whatever, right? They just go, what's going to make us money? And they look at, okay, you know, it started with like Bryan Singer. They said he made a great X-Men movie. You know, those X-Men movies made money. Let's have him do Superman now. So they go for the one per, you know, Zack Snyder. He made 300. He made Watchmen.
Yeah.
Not counting the fact that those are like shot for shot, you know, adaptations of the actual books.
Yeah.
And not exactly. an original story, right? So they go, he's a comic book guy. Let's have him do Superman, right?
Joss Whedon.
Exactly. So they take these people who have a very specific personal style and they go, well, he's a comic book guy. And then they put them in charge of all of it. And then it doesn't go well because it's one guy's singular vision where Zack Snyder thinks that Batman should kill people. So everybody, you know, half the people go, what the fuck is this? Right. Like, and, but you've just spent, you know, $500 million on two movies.
Yep. And you can't go back. And it's the company you keep. So like, for instance, and I know this one is a little more culturally significant, but I take it, I understand their systems and who they hire. Like when they review Black Panther or Wakanda Forever, they always talk to the costume designer. Oh, how did you come up with this? And they go through, they always have a little section because it's very well done. I've never seen a DC movie sit down with their costume designer talking about this. We paid attention to this detail. This thing was done during this time. Even the X-Men movies, even when they mess up the timeline in a way and have like Magneto part of the Holocaust, it looks time specific. It didn't take me out. Kevin, you know, got it played, they played Shaw. Kevin Bacon. Oh, it looked time specific. Even right, though yeah. X-Men is really messed up with the 10-year jumps, they do take time. Okay, now they're going to be wearing this. We're going to see these buildings. This is not going to be built. And all I'm saying is that attention to detail, it gives credit to your watchers and your viewers that like you have intelligence. That leads a lot of people. That's a big Hansel and Gretel crumb. You have intelligence. You'll figure out some of this stuff. So we're not going to waste your time. Maybe we'll give you a screen crawl or whatever. We're not going to waste your time with all these other things. We're going to make sure that detail is right. So even if you glance at it, left eye, side eye, you're going to see that we took time and put it in there. DC is just too dark and shiny. How is it dark and shiny? Why is it so wet? Why is it so wet? It's wet everywhere. Everybody's wet.
DC is always wet.
I feel exposed here because it was a conversation me and Ibrahim had before. We were talking about Batman versus Superman. And it wasn't until that conversation that I was like, that Ib was like, I don't like this Superman. He's like, he's dark and brooding for what? And I'm like, but I love this Superman. I think I might be the laziest DC EU fan.
But there's Superman. Superman smiling, being the American hero.
Right.
They even gave Captain America that in Captain America. He had that.
Right. You know, and that's it right there, Castro.
Yep. They could have done it. Dark. You got to make superhero whimsy. And Lois is kind of kooky. You got to do that. Like Lois and Clark works. Because Lois is kooky. You know what I'm saying? Like that
Clark stuff is works. Kooky.
Yeah, you have to put that in Superman. He has to be a little hokey. All right, then you make Superman 2 and you mess with his personality. But go ahead, Ibrahim. I'm sorry. I keep
playing. Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. Like, I think the depiction of Captain America in the Marvel movies is so perfect. And it's like pretty much exactly the way Superman should have been, too, in terms of like the hopeful leader of everything, you know. And they
very optimistic. You know, efforts.
Yeah, I love Cavill. I think he's as perfect a Superman as we're ever going to get. And I think they wasted that opportunity.
I think they did as well.
Yeah, totally they didn't give him any like character development really, or like no moments to shine. Like,
I'm wasting my time figuring out how he's shaving. I shouldn't be thinking. Yes. About
okay. This is well, this is actually. Oh my god. Okay. So here's the thing. I love Cavill so much. And I think my issue is, so I'm a 2000s baby. I grew up on the DC animated universe, watching Justice League Unlimited, Batman, the animated series, all of them, Static Shock. That's what I grew up on. And it's like, they still took the opportunity to give dark stories to our characters. But at the end of the day, our characters were still like, they're heroes. They
still
tried
hopeful.
To save
still
people.
Hopeful at the end. They the, still had the third part, the three parter in Batman. Right. It was like so horrible. Still hopeful. Still
there's
kept
still
the guy
hope.
You know what I'm
There's
saying?
Still hope in them, because like at the end of the day, and like that's what I think is the disparity between the two, because it's like the DC universe we had going there for a while was very non-hopeful. But then at points you would like jump to Shazam and you were like, whoa, this is a very interesting vibe switch, because Shazam is super hopeful. And then you go to like Batman v Superman and you have like Batman's ready to kill Superman and like Superman's getting killed by Doomsday in the second movie in the series. It's just like
the reason Infinity War had us mouth agape and worked so well is because the movies previous had the hopeful endings and stuff. So for you to end a movie on a dark, you know, Sopranos go to black, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everybody was looking
at just got here.
We were all looking at our watches like, wait, they only got like 4 minutes. Like, where's Thor? I was like, yo, looking at my phone, I was like, it's only 3 minutes. That's not enough to get rid of all the Chitauri. That's not enough. So what's going
to
happen here?
That happened to me in Batman vs. Superman. I was like, are they really about to kill him right now? There's just like 10 minutes of this movie left. What are we doing here? Like, you know, and that's the thing. It's a standard storytelling practice, you know, and it happens all the time. And a lot of times we don't even notice it. First, you build your characters up and then you pull the rug out from under them. Every movie you watch, every show you watch, when a character has a triumphant moment, there's some kind of drawback or failure right after it. Because otherwise, like, you don't care, because it's just like, they're just getting
like down the whole time or everything. For an example, for the listeners, which one, man? Spider-Man, when he had like erectile dysfunction, he had performance anxiety. Remember? he couldn't stick and he kept falling. Yeah.
Yeah.
After he had like a great day with MJ. Now he can't stick to the walls. And stuff.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And wait, so
are we talking about continue.
Well, I was just going to say, they never gave us that with the DC movies, right? True. Like, we never had the good part to then like, now there's the downfall. Like, the end of Man of Steel, he snapped Zod's neck and was making out with Lois on like the bones and cinder of Metropolis. The city. Like,
I might need therapy.
I spent 15 minutes in a movie therapy. Like, wait a minute, you're Superman, but you couldn't save your father from a tornado.
Right.
Because you want to hide your powers, but you just used your powers to push a bus out of the water. What are we doing here?
But
just
when it comes
over there and get him and run back, nobody's even going to notice.
No one will see you.
But when it comes to James Gunn, are you guys ready for wacky, silly Superman?
See, no, that's the other thing.
Nothing in the middle. That's
my concern.
The issue.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. James Gunn is wacky, silly.
But wouldn't that be like somewhat refreshing to see, like, just them to go, you know what I'm saying? Like, make
I'll
it like
what.
Beta, like Betamax. Like,
I don't mind. I would like a lighthearted.
Beta 6, Base 6, whatever that movie. Remember with the big.
Oh, yeah. Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
Boom.
I love that.
Go there.
Okay, that's a good example.
Andre, you have a moment like Ibrahim saying to pull the rug out after being jolly. Like even the Incredibles were jolly for the whole movie, Frozone and all that. Until, I'm a sidekick and I have issues, and like I've been killing folks. I remember that scene where he kept. And the movie turned real dark.
It got real
Incredibles quick. Is a good example.
A quick turn. Or even like Toy Story. When they got to the incinerator, I was like, wait a minute, this is...
But Joe, to your point, this is what I'm concerned about. And I made a joke about this on Twitter recently. Is like, what I don't want... Because I love lighthearted Superman. Give me that all day. What I don't want is him doing that James Gunn shit of being like, you know, he saves Metropolis and he's like, I just did all of the saves, and then fucking Hall and Oates starts playing or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm worried about. I don't want like Superman dancing and, you know, like.
I would say this. Again, he comes from good stock, just learning what to do. So his movies and the James Gunn thing, they'll be like that wacky. Like Doom Patrol exists kind of way whacked out. It's not even like the other, it's not even like Titans or whatever. And I don't even watch these joints. I just know there's a difference. But I think now seeing the Feige example, okay, I'll have my movies here, my one or two franchises that I'll run, and I'll have other people with those skill sets to apply something gritty and realistic, something somewhat lighthearted, someone in the middle, a family. Like, I think DC is perfect for, like, I used to watch that show with Chiklis on it. It was like the whole family had powers. Mm. And they were at school and work and stuff like that, and they had to run. DC needs that. They need a...
But Gunn's running the entire thing.
But I think he'll delegate.
That's the issue.
Just like with Snyder, remember, how you feel about something, it controls the vision of your movie.
Yeah.
So how he felt about, you know, the world and, you know, the characters, it made all this film dark. I like Snyder. I like Snyder as a filmmaker. I just know that he makes dark movies. I did not want to see dark, brooding, super Batman. Because that's what he was. Superman wasn't Superman was Batman, and that was that's what bothered me, because then when we saw Batman, it was like, wait a minute, now which one is who's who? Okay. It was the exact same character, and I'm afraid that. And I like James Gunn. I think he's a really good writer. He's smart. He's a good filmmaker. I'm just concerned that, and I'm not concerned like in the overworld, but
right
for the DCEU, I think that we may see wacky silly throughout the entire 10-year span of his run. I really do.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? Like, you know, pace, a... like pacemaker wax. Okay, let me ask you this.
Like,
well,
this.
Hold on, quick, I think
we're going to see Peacemaker.
So that's my concern. That's my major concern when you start dangling a character like Lobo and you're talking about Jason Momoa.
Right.
No.
Well, there's two. No. Okay, so I'm a big give me Lobo. A sec. I'm a Lobo historian. So there's a couple of Lobos. Right. There's like
the I don't super want that wacky, new 50. Don't give me that new 52 Lobo.
Well, there's the wall break Lobo where you're in on it and all that stuff. Sure. And then there's actually the Justice League of America serious when they're out in deep space doing missions and working. You know, everything devolves into army type stuff. That's what Justice League went to, like this whole military complex thing. And then Lobo comes in and wrecks shop. Like Lobo is always a chaos element. Like he'll fly in when you're being serious or you have your armadas and you did all this war stuff and trying to do these treaties. He'll just come in and beat up both sides and then frag out.
What I don't want is this goofy, lighthearted attempt. Like Jason Momoa is not dark enough to be my Lobo. He's
but this is what I need. How did Thor? I need everybody's Love and Thunder with another Taika Waititi attempt. How did that work for y'all? Love and Thunder.
I did not care for it. And that's my concern is like, you put it into a specific guy's vision. You know what it is? I feel like we left our jacket at James Gunn's house and he's going to give it back to us and it's going to smell like his house.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I am clipping that out for
that's
the
a good. That's a great moment.
Because Ragnarok worked so well.
Yes.
It was serious splendid. Elements.
But from what I understand, Taika didn't write Ragnarok.
Okay, so that's something. So it was the aesthetic and the palette, because the aesthetic and the palette about Ragnarok, it was so Kirby to me.
It was
like, oh my God. Like, it was Kirby beautiful. In a sense.
Love
that
Ragnarok.
I never thought they would ever be able to put Kirby on film, because he's
so
just
good.
You know what I'm saying? The way he draws a celestial, like, what are you even doing?
Right.
So the fact that he got that's what kind of drew me in. It wasn't necessarily Taika's style. I'm cool with his style, and I like it, but it was like, the colors were bursting. So when we got to Love and Thunder, now we're in this.
It was too what we do in the shadows, bro. Like,
you're not just trying to bring Thor back from being silly to serious when he had the beer gut and all that.
But he did it without giving. He completely abandoned the opportunities of attacking the serious moments. So So Jane's dealing with cancer. Give us more of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Truthfully.
You got Gore the God Butcher. He's butchering gods. We don't see him kill any.
No.
So, like, why do I fear Gore? Why do I fear the Necro Sword? What's the stakes here?
Yeah.
Like, how do you, like, it's great. And you, Christian and Bale, you waste Christian scenes, Bale like that?
Yeah, and you get scenes where, like, Valkyrie is standing at Natalie Portman, Jane Foster's like apartment door or whatever.
Right.
Why are we seeing this in a superhero movie? Like,
here's what I think.
The hallway, you know.
Right.
Y'all are all hitting on a big point since the beginning. I feel like we've been talking about this, and here's where I think DC has continued to falter, where Marvel hasn't. So let's talk Thor: Love and Thunder. That movie does not work on like a normal scale. But the good thing is, when they want to do Thor 5, Taika does not have to be in charge of that movie anymore. The issue when you give a director a whole universe, when you are like, oh, you have to make movies now. When you have Zack Snyder in front of a universe and you're like, oh, you're making the movies too. You don't have anyone who's able to control, like, oh, so like, we're going to make sure we're keeping up with continuity. Da 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 da. You have too many eggs in this one person's basket. So when it comes to the time when they're like, oh, we want to let go of Zach, it's like, you're letting go of the universe. Everything. Right. So now they're inviting James Gunn again. And we know James Gunn is going to make movies. He's going to keep making Peacemaker. He's probably going to get another Suicide Squad. He's been saying that he's writing Superman. It's like, wait. You don't have anyone in charge of your universe. You are hiring a director to set the tone in a way. And by the time, there's probably going to be another point where they're like, ah, this isn't working, because the movies probably aren't going to work from the beginning because DC has been underselling. So it's like, by the time that the universe gets started and they're kind of upset, they're going to kick James out and we're going to be back at square one.
Yeah.
And the frustrating thing for me is that, like, you know, not everything has to be for me. I recognize that. I got plenty of movies and shows I can watch that already exist, right? But, like, it does, it is disheartening to know that we're going into probably a decade long sort of era where it's just controlled 100% by somebody who makes stuff that I don't care for. You know, like, it just, I mean, like, I enjoy the Guardians movies, but they're very much a specific tone and voice that I can only take so much of. And it works for these characters that were pretty, you know, third tier, lesser known, right?
Yep.
He can come in and kind of put his spin on it. Peacemaker, most people never heard of that character. I've been, my day job, I make comic books. I work for DC. I work for Marvel. I never heard of that character before.
Right.
Suicide Squad movie, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, you know, it's one thing to take these characters and put your own spin on them, Polka Dot Man, etc. But when you take Superman, who we all know who Superman is, and I'm just worried that it's going to be, you know.
Well, here the thing is, hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know what
I'm saying? The Suicide Squad got, like, age on them. Like, these are old characters. Like,
right.
60s, 70s guys.
Right.
Same with the Defenders. So when they did the Defenders, you know, they're trying to put the ragtag of whatever they got presently, but it's Doctor Strange and Hulk and Ghost Rider. You know what I'm saying? It's
right. Very,
so I like to see whatever he lays out first, because I feel like what he lays out first won't be his project. It'll be something else to set the table.
I mean, the way Superman, he's talking about starting to get the young Superman. I mean, first off, I am not one of the things I loved about Man of Steel is it got us from 0 to 100 real quick. I don't need Smallville. I'm sorry. I don't need all of the backstory. Get me to where I need to be. It's the same thing like with Spider-Man. I don't need.
We've seen it a lot, but it's the popular ones. Like, we've seen that, but is it PTSD about not wanting to see the origins? I think it's giving the audience credit. Like, I love that the new Spider-Man doesn't even bother.
I think there might be some PTSD, but the fact that you're telling me you're going to give me Superman year one, you want a younger Superman? You literally could have done that.
It's five versions of that. Lois and Clark.
Too many. You could have given us John Kent. You could have kept Henry Cable and just given us John Kent.
Can we talk about their obsession with what's the Flash that they got now? The young
Ezra. Brother.
Yeah, what? See, this is what I'm talking about. Two in the hand, a bird. What is it? Bird in the hand, two in the bush. You have a successful Flash,
right?
Homeboy, I used to watch the Flash show. It's fine.
The show. Yeah,
it's really good. Just blow him up. It's a little quirky because it comes from TV, so it has that little sheen to it.
Yeah, but they did that crossover Ezra Miller showed up.
I saw that.
So it's like, you know, just bring him over. It's fine.
Just bring
him
over.
Let him do it. Ezra is so problematic. He was keeping women as slaves. What are we doing here?
We love Grant, too.
Exactly. But see, it's not a splash. It's like some NBA teams. And I'm not going to go deep with the analogy, but they'll make a trade, but not for necessarily a play that actually fits. It needs to be splashy. It needs
money
to look good. It has sparkle to it because it needs to sell tickets too.
But so nobody like Ezra Miller though. That's what like sucks.
I don't know. He didn't do well in the just. I don't know what it is about him. He's not even popular in his other things. Oh, he's him, and now he's a disgusting pig. What do they think? Well, now here's something else I learned about movies though, and y'all could correct me, especially if you with your experience. I always feel like they get to a point where they spent so much money, they have to go forward. It's totally a zero cost if you cut a movie down.
Oh really? What about Batgirl?
Batgirl.
That's what I'm saying. but look how rarely that happens. That happens, and how more we see. Yo, how did they make this? Like,
Casher has a point.
Out and you know what I'm saying? Why did this get distribution? Yes.
Yeah, Casher has a point. Batgirl wasn't enough money. Batgirl was like 90 million. I think the Flash is at 200 something right now.
Right, that's so they have no choice. True. And the only way they're going to make back that sum is to put the movie out. They can't.
And what they can do, they can use the Flash movie to restart the universe. Yeah, so sure. So if they're talking about using Flashpoint, which I'm vaguely familiar with, they can just restart everything using that.
If they use Flashpoint as a plot device, it'd be way better than them just doing the obviously, everybody knows that Flashpoint story. Right. If they use it, like you're saying, as a reset,
that would be great. If they use that as the reset, and then once they do the reset, they can remove Ezra Miller and start over from there. I mean, because they already have, I'm sorry, Eve, they already have a couple of Batman scenes that they shot with different Batmans, right? They shot with Michael Keaton. They shot with Ben Affleck. They have those in the can. They have a bunch of stuff. So they can always.
But they're not moving forward with either one of them, from what I understand.
Right.
But you're just saying using it as a story arc.
Okay. Use that to kind of crush Crisis everything.
Of Infinity
before.
Earths or whatever. Right. You know what DC does. James Gunn not New 52. But right.
James Gunn is refusing to say that Gal Gadot is done as Wonder Woman, so maybe they can shoot a scene with her, and then they can kind of destroy everything. And then at the end of the movie, somebody walks into a building and he says, "Hi, I'm here for my interview. What's your name?" Clark Kent. And it's all and it's then it is restart from there.
You know what's so funny?
I think
Flashpoint in the comics, like that event in the comic books, was because continuity was so muddy and there were so many things they said we gotta wipe the slate.
Yep.
And now history is repeating itself with the movies, with which the is movies. A much smaller, you know,
yes,
there are
way
fewer
less
stories out there.
Yes,
yeah. Like,
yeah.
But this is the thing I think that these people are missing is like, okay, we're in the realm of film and we're at movies, but these are comic books. Mm-hmm. And if you grew up on comic books will stop on a dime. Where's that character? I ain't seen him in months. Who knows? I don't care. Somebody's resurrected. They'll do anything. We're fans of it. We just go with it. Oh, some crazy thing. Oh, they retcon Professor X and the Island of Mutants and fighting Krakoa like four times. They added mutants that you didn't know about. Oh, they were hidden and buried. What? Okay. So, all right. Phoenix, she came back to life 3-4 times. Jean Grey. Oh, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Like she was a clone. Like they switched her out. She was a clone on the moon. Like seriously, none of these things came up before they did it. Like they weren't cloning people and having people on the moon. They did it for her. She's underwater. She's in the lake. Whatever. So my thing is like, teach the movie watchers to do that. Know that this is that comic book slate. When you turn that page, it could be something totally different.
I feel like the last Spider-Man movie primed everybody for that pretty
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. With
the
that
last
whole
Spider-Man
wiping
movie that.
Oh, putting him back to zero was great. Like he's
that
not
was
an Avenger.
Beautiful.
It was so perfect.
That was
but
such a
no
good retcon.
Yes.
But with Spider-Man, you have three really charismatic Spider-Men.
Yes.
Nice guys on and off the screen.
Yeah.
Ezra Miller is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And so what happens? Like, how do you combat their personality? How do you combat?
And he made it worse. Like everything that came out was worse than the last thing you heard about this dude.
Right. So how do you combat that? Like people are going to watch that film and say, but they're an abusive person. They're like, so as a filmmaker, I say we're the DC, don't put me in it, but say we're all the DC, we're the DC committee.
Wow.
And we're saying we're gonna recreate this, you know, this universe with Flashpoint. We still have to contend with this, right?
Yeah.
And and I'm wondering if they're just trying to let it blow over.
But it's not. I think they got it. I think the money is spent. Like you were saying, Andre, like they're $200 million
to be spent.
He's already cast. And it's very expensive. And we've seen that for them switching out an actor. And it didn't work. Like they did that with Spacey on a movie. And like that was a big money thing to switch him out and reshoot and digitally do
all
these
things.
It's a lot of money. So just roll it out there. I don't think it'll die, but
I'm saying, but he did get an Oscar nomination.
Obviously. But you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
So do they kill them in the beginning of Flashpoint? Was it Ezra Miller died like the first 15 minutes?
Well, in the Flashpoint story, and not to bother anybody, one of the Flashes, and this has happened in Flash, continue. One Flash has to run really fast till he runs himself out of existence. So he helps with the speed, but he's running so fast, he just turns into Speed Force or Light or something. Mm-hmm. And then again, we're comic book fans. They bring that person back too. Then he's like in the Speed Force and whatever. Like, so they can do many things, you know?
I think they're currently working on whipping Ezra's reputation back into shape.
True.
Some of the things that we've heard already with them wanting to retain Ezra has to do with the fact that they are in treatment. There's been good behavior since they've been in treatment. So that like,
DC until the contract been, runs out, right? Until the trailer comes out.
But well, honestly, I do think, as far as like people on the outside, us fans, we're very fickle. And while in this group right here, like, you know, we can hold some grudges, I think the greater majority could give two shits.
Yes, and on top of that, and this movie has something else. It has Michael Keaton returning as Batman, and there True. Are millions of dudes yes. out there who don't give a fuck about anyone's behavior off screen. They just want to see their favorite Batman again. That reminds them of being 8 years old. You know, what I, mean?
Mm-hmm. I lost well,
for
my
for me and me and him. We were 13. We
were bruh. Yeah. Lost like my we're a little I was older.
Like yeah, somebody we were it was 1990. We
which
were 13.
One, yeah, which is one of the reasons why when Batgirl got canceled, I was like, who in their mind would cancel was that with return. Keaton in there? Are you yeah. out of here? Like I lost my shit.
Batgirl. It's the shows are weird. I think if there was no fervor like E was saying for like Keaton Batman, just that alone, if they had anybody that was interested in Batgirl herself. Because I think the show didn't do well, right? Didn't they have that Parker woman? Posey girl that in switched. There?
They switched did a recast.
It. Yeah, mm-hmm. and that look, you're stumbling, right? But the like, you know, like we're saying, the show must go on. So you tripped when you're rolling out there. But money spent, the dress is spent, the sash is there. Get up, do the tap dance, smile awkwardly. We're gonna meme you to death, and then get off stage, and then we'll recoup our money. But you see what I'm saying? Like I've already stumbled out into the stage. That's what DC feels like. They've already stumbled out on the stage. It's embarrassing, but the sound cues are there. You can't just run off and cry because you're not in kindergarten. In kindergarten, you could just run off the stage and cry and everybody would clap. No, you're a grown person. You got to perform. Now, you're out here. The spotlight is on. You have to do something. Okay, the entrance was really bad. Yeah. And you have a rip in your lederhosen. Okay, but you got to do the tap, do the hands, smile, and then get off stage. And I think that's where we're at with this Flash movie.
Another thing that has me kind of like leery about DC's future is the way that they are really, really like flippant with really good actors and actresses. Like, I don't have confidence in the future of this universe when I feel like the relationship that they have with actors. Like, if I was an actor, I'm like, I wouldn't want to work with these people.
That's totally different than that Marvel commitment. Like, Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans took themselves off the board for 10 years.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything else for 10 years.
DC's like the Knicks.
Yeah, you in and out. You get your contract.
The Knicks.
Nobody really wants to go to that organization.
No.
They like the shininess. I like the shiny suit of Superman, but do I really want to go over there? Man, they did Cavill so dirty with that, bro. Like, I try not to invest myself in these people and they're, you know, but like, this man was really like he carried that mantle for almost 10 years, never got in trouble, never did any shit that everybody was like, oh, this guy's actually.
It was the mustache wipe. Think about if they didn't do the mustache wipe and make his lip look like that. We would have forgiven a lot about that movie.
I still didn't care.
It's still son's.
Right.
And I still couldn't like not look when he was like,
it was hard to watch for sure.
It was definitely tough CGI.
But you know, really, and we all felt for him because we were like, man, this guy's such a good Superman, and he's
wearing
like,
a black uniform. Like, let him do his thing. They could have waited. They could have gave him time and grace. Look, Michael J. Fox, when they shot Back to the Future, he still was shooting the show. What is that? Grown
Family Ties.
Family Ties. He still had to go. He was like a workhorse. Yep. But what I'm saying is they made concessions, and neither one of those movie or shows suffered. But when you do something like with Cavill, and you're making him go against time, like, look, I have to have this mustache. I'm in this other movie. Just wait.
Well, that's because Paramount refused. They were like, no. I mean, they were like, listen, we need him. We might need him for reshoots, so we're not allowing him. We don't have to. Like, he's under our contract. And the whole thing was because Warner Brothers wanted to do all these reshoots and bring Whedon in, another piece of shit. They wanted to bring him in and work with them. They were like, we don't care. We have him under contract for another contract. So, have your reshoots. Do what you can. But once again, at Cavill, workhorse, going back and forth, just reshooting the film, and then, you know, covering up his mustache. I really... And like you said, Ebe, I really don't, you know, I want to get involved in like, oh, these four actors who making millions of dollars. But also it was, I mean, they pretty much begged him to come back as Superman.
The Rock pushed his knee on people's necks to make sure that he could do.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Because I probably can't even get through it. I really don't think I can.
But they really pushed to have him come back as Superman, and for them to kind of kill it before.
And like, again, can that, I say for the record, that's also The Rock not understanding Shazam and Black Adam and that whole character. He's not understanding. Yeah. Not reading a comic book.
They really let The Rock come in and do whatever the hell.
Because again, you got these people in charge who don't know.
They don't know what they're doing.
They just go where they think the money is. They go, The Rock is one of the highest grossing leading men in Hollywood. Let's let him do whatever, you know? And that movie, like Black Adam was bad, but the JSA stuff in that movie was incredible.
Let's talk about it.
And Black Adam never even deals with Superman. Ever, really.
Right.
Like.
Right. Know your role.
Source material is somewhat important.
Know your roles.
The talk of JSA is really interesting because the JSA, the way that they played the JSA in the movie is kind of the vibe. Because, and we were talking about this because you said that you weren't very well known on the JSA.
True.
The vibe that they did the JSA in that movie is what we've been asking to be the DC vibe since the beginning.
Yes. 100%. That's why it rang so true, because it just felt right. Like you had, you know, someone like Dr. Fate, who was like the wizened character who was, you know, like willing to self-sacrifice. You had Hawkman, who was the strong leader, who was like, we don't kill people. Right. Bro, when he jumped out that plane, when they first introduced his character in that movie, and he just casually says, like, you go do that. And he just dives out that bitch. Like,
yeah, right.
And then that stuff just like populates on him. And he's just like, fly. Oh, man, that was like, that was the best DC scene in anything.
The blueprint is there. All right. Yeah. So anybody, and I'm going to go a little comic nerd here. Are y'all familiar with the JLA, like both versions? If y'all get what I'm saying. So remember how there's one version of JLA when they're younger and they're all like teenagers and they're called like Star Boy and Metal Guy or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Real basic names. And what they did though is there's also a version where they jump like maybe 100 years in the future. And then those young ones get time traveled into the future. And like I was saying, if anybody's familiar, then the future is this whole military industrial complex of these planetary wars and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have all of these bright eyed comic characters, Starboy and stuff, and like, oh, now he needs to be Lieutenant Thomas and stuff like that. So what I'm saying is they could do that one with an infantile. And they're just playing with their powers and stuff, and they're the darlings of the earth. Then they could have the real gritty one in the future and travel, and you know, snap. It's there. I'm just saying, it's there. I remember I've done that. I've done it as a comic book reader. So again, even with Marvel, when we get it, the stories are there. You don't really have to do a damn thing. Excuse my language in that sense. Yeah. Like you don't. These stories are developed. They have weight. They work. We read them all the time. To me it's infantile. Like, why? I get it. No, some things you can't portray. I will always be impressed with Watchmen, because I read Watchmen when it came out in the 80s, and I never thought that they could put that on the screen. It made comic book characters drawn very real, what they made them go through. And you reading it as a kid, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one big thing, and I let it go. I always was like, when did Superman and Batman go to the bathroom? And I never saw them. I never saw them walk off or, you know, say, I'll be right back. That never happened. Watchmen, oh, yeah. Them characters went to the bathroom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They went to the bathroom. They unbuckled their belts. I'm serious. Like,
you hit on something. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but you just hit on something that's really real. So, in comparison, hate to keep comparison DC and Marvel, but I think, like, that's the obvious comparison that comes
up.
DC does it every day.
Yeah, DC does it every day. That's like their job.
As he sips it.
So it's like with the whole DC Marvel comparison, I think when DC came out the gate, it was like Man of Steel, like say what you will, whatever you want about Man of Steel. Man of Steel was a like self-contained adventure.
It's a good movie. It's just a good Superman movie.
I love that.
Yes, it's a good self-contained adventure that's like, okay, like this is just a Superman story, right? Quick, we're gonna have our good time.
Like Joker.
Yeah, like Joker.
Yeah.
And like the thing that Marvel started out with is like, obviously, like Iron Man was a self-contained story that was like, we're introducing Iron Man from Captain America. And they continue to do that. Like,
yep.
To now to even Shang-Chi, it's like, yeah, we get the little post-credit scene, but it's like the story is that it's just a one adventure. It isn't a world-ending
and it
adventure.
It gives it scope. Like, they're in San Francisco. Stuff happens in New York. They might bump into each other, but it takes a whole movie. So now we have scope.
Right. Now we have scope. So it's like by the time with DC, we got to their second film, like the second was Batman v Superman, the second film in the universe.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, so without including like the offshoots and stuff.
By film two, you're telling me that the world is about to end. We got Doomsday. We're dealing with Doomsday. We're dealing with Superman. Wonder Woman's here. We're introducing the Justice League. It's like, really, the bites that they keep taking are huge. Even, like, I like the Suicide Squad movie with James Gunn, but, like, Starro just got wasted.
Yeah, and he's a big character.
He's a huge character, and Starro's just gone now.
But I sat through the Snyder Cut, making it Darkseid and not the other. I really did. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it took a while, but, like... Mm-hmm. It's Darkseid. I don't care. What's the other guy? I don't even know the other guy's name. Whatever. Please. Like
Steppenwolf, sir.
Yeah. But that's what Marvel did. Like, all right, we saw local. We saw other levels of villainy.
Right.
Thanos is up in floating on the moon, waiting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And DC, that's, you know, Darkseid could have been, kill this one. They didn't help. Who's next? You know what I'm saying? Like, and take, but again, that takes time. That's one movie, two movies a year. Then the thing don't really kick off until the third. Like, the Justice League shouldn't have been assembled until year 2.5.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when they finally come together. After we had about 3 or 4 movies and maybe one little crossover thingy.
Right.
Then it's like, all right, we need to, you know, it's imminent. Like you're saying, Ido, it's like there's a world threat.
Right.
And with Marvel, that didn't happen until Avengers, which is like 5 movies in, including the Hulk.
Yeah.
Definitely 5 movies in. Yeah. And it's like, the fact that we had, like, I know there's always, like, the superheroes got to fight each other. You know how it's going. But it's, like, the fact that immediately it was Batman and Superman actually trying to kill each other, which, again, makes absolutely no sense for the two characters that they are. You have Batman trying to murder another person. It's just, like, it was just so, like, whoa. Like, we don't even know how we got here. Yeah. Like, we have established a universe that's, like... You're telling me Robin got killed by the Joker already? Like, you're telling me this has happened already?
Yeah. Yeah. They delivered a lot. Snyder, he did a lot of jumping. He definitely did a lot of jumping. What I'm hearing over and over again is how important tone is. Definitely.
Tone.
One thing that Marvel did really well in Infinity War was where, like, it just jumped out to me. So, Infinity War, we had a combination of so many different established characters, MCU established characters, were popping up. They're meeting each other for the first time. We're watching different things happen. Like, I will never forget sitting in the theater, and when they cut to Guardians finally coming into the movie, and they were giving locations all over the place, and it was just space. I laughed immediately. I was like, it's like space. Okay, now we got to deal with these morons. I just started laughing off the, like, space. That's okay. That's what, that's the location. Okay, cool. James has arrived.
And it was done so well because
you didn't necessarily need to bring Guardians in. Like,
right. You didn't need to. But no, but the way it started out was that scene before it started ending, and then this music starts hitting underneath it. And then the music comes on and you're like, okay, like space, because now you're getting like the tone shift, and that was the whole thing that you were talking about, Ambush.
Yeah.
The tone shift was like space. Now I just watched all these films know the music was the hit.
Yeah.
Right.
Now we're gonna get into some funniness. We know it's gonna be funny. We saw from the commercial. We know Thor's gonna come somewhere around here. We know it. And DC and Marvel and everybody who works in it, they craft it so well. They craft those films so well. And tone is tough. And I think, well, since we're going back to the comparisons, I think tone has also been the challenge in this little space of Marvel.
I was going to say that, Dre. I was going to say people's issues with phase four. Phase four, I think, will be looked on very well in hindsight.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Right.
Little, yeah. Little right. Seeds, and we'll be like, oh, yeah. Shoot, they did this. But right now, right. People are like, we exactly. Like, and it, I think there's no way to do it because it's a graph. We just did Infinity War. And
right.
There's no way to going up from there.
Yeah, you can't keep. Out. So you got to chill right. Back out and reestablish. And right. Now, and what people were just missing that. All phase four, it's not. But what we did was, David Tyree's in Marvel Universe. Salma Hayek is in the Marvel Universe. Hello. Angelina Jolie is in the Marvel Universe. Like, Jon Snow is in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
They're all in the. That's what they did. Whether you like
Mahershala Ali, like
Mahershala Ali. Yeah, they're all in now. They're all in now. Right. You know what I'm saying? Whether they was allude to them or we saw them as the wacky as Eternals
the
or whatever.
Deck
or,
is stacked.
They're all in, and then people, I don't like this. But I'm like, what do you mean you don't like this movie? Jon Snow, and the King of the North. They're both. They're in the MCU now.
Right.
Salma Hayek is in MCU now. Angelina, you know what I'm saying? Like Charlie, they're in the MCU now.
Right.
They're there. That's it. Yeah. David Allen Tyree, he's in the MCU. Now, what are you going to do? What you going to do?
How did you guys feel? How did you guys feel when you heard the news of The Rock's game plan to center the universe around Shazam and a conflict with Superman?
I thought this man is severely overestimating his
his abilities,
his character, and his ability to make anyone, you know.
Well, I was saying this: the Rock, he's definitely trying to reestablish the '80s and '90s action hero, who was about the actor and not necessarily the movie.
Right
now, where it's about the character, the same debate we're having about recasting Black Panther is about the characters. It's about Robert Downey playing Iron Man, not it's a Robert Downey vehicle, and he's just happened to be playing Iron Man. You know what I'm saying? It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I love Arnie, but three movies, he's the same guy. So it didn't really matter what the story was surrounding him. He's the main attraction, and I think these actors have to get used to, no, the main attraction is these stories that have been around since the 60s that us old heads can come out now and relive our childhood and enjoy, and then young kids can see it and like something brand new to them because they weren't around. You know what I'm saying?
So long as these actors are going after franchises that are big IPs, it's not going to be about them for sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's also like if The Rock wanted to lead the DC universe, pick like Green Lantern or something. Like,
yeah,
we would have all killed.
He had an obsession, he said, with Black Adam. He just was.
He had an obsession, but didn't understand the character.
Right. Exactly.
How did you get obsessed with a character you don't understand? What?
Reading the cover in the back. Green the cover in the back.
True, and true. I wasn't mad at the casting of him as Black Adam.
No.
I was like,
I think it worked.
Yeah, because this has been going on for 10 years now. He's been trying to, you know.
Look at the power of Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder, and you not really knowing it. So, like, I think they would have been way powerful if Rock just kind of sauntered into DC as whoever. You're like, oh my God, that's The Rock. Like, that's more than it's The Rock, you know what I'm saying? Right. And way out in the forefront. Like, when we saw... like when I saw what they did with like Michael Douglas and Ant-Man, he's too old, but it's gonna work. It's Michael Douglas.
Well, and it kind of goes back to the way that they would always cast an unknown actor for Superman, right? It's because they wanted you to see Superman and not Robert Redford or whatever. And with this, it's like The Rock is so well known, and they could have at least put the fake hair on him. You know what I'm saying? He just looked like The Rock the whole time. Like
it's just The Rock.
I'm surprised he didn't have his tattoo. You know what I mean?
So, or the khaki or the brown khaki shirt.
Yeah.
Black Adam is chilly.
Get the fuck out. I didn't hate Black Adam as a film. I thought, especially, you know, all the JSA stuff, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And it made me care about Hawkman. I've never, ever in my life cared about Hawkman.
He's also a fan. Yeah. Well, he got retconned three times, and so he's very confusing.
He's very confusing. But I've never, even through those three, I think I only remember two.
Probably too.
I've never cared. So for them to actually let me commit, I went with my family. We went. My wife went.
He's played by a Black actor in this, right?
Right.
I didn't see.
Aldous Hodge. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
I thought it was a good for me. It was all right. This is a good first start, right? All right. This is a good first start. it wasn't the best film in the world, but, you know, always ramped down my expectations when it comes to a DC film, right? Mm. Always.
That's so sad to hear.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. And so walking out, you know, with my daughters, they were like, oh, my daughter's, my youngest daughter, who is severe Marvelhead, right? She's teen, severe Marvel.
Nice.
So she goes, that wasn't that bad. Okay. And so, and for her, that meant a lot. I'm like, right. Oh, like, DC might have gotten somebody to, like, be interested in that. Like, and it was because she didn't care about, you know, she didn't know, she doesn't know the character, she doesn't read comic books, she doesn't know any of that stuff. She's kind of like watching the movie for the movie, and she saw some interesting characters. She thought some of it was corny, just like I did. She thought some of it didn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. But then she said, oh, and she said it, they should make a part two.
Wow.
And so her saying that is me saying, okay, you have just pulled in somebody who watches Marvel films like it's in the background while she's doing homework. Like, this is the she just puts it on and just, you know, Disney
watches a lot of Iron Mans. I know people that watch it. 1, 2, 3, Iron Man, right in the back.
She'll just throw it on and just like let it run. And I think that once he said that The Rock was going to be the center of the universe and the power and everything, I think that turned Peter Gunn and them off, because they're in charge. They have their own ideas, but then they also wanted to exert their power. So I think if The Rock came out,
that's a good point.
Made a film that, depending on who you talk to, made a profit and didn't break a profit, which is the concern with everybody. It's all about the money. We know this.
Bag.
I think if he kind of stepped back and was like, "Oh, I hope we do another one," you know, and kind of let, you know, kind of told the audience, he may have been able to sneak in again. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's pointing at, oh, they didn't make enough money. They didn't do this.
It's establishing a system, because this is not Goodfellas or Casino. The actors are not really here to riff and, you know, change scripts like in those movies, Scorsese. Right. They're there to play characters. Again, you know what I'm saying? So like The Rock coming in and wanting to change the DNA, and yeah, you can get away with that if everybody's on board, if we're on board with making Superman and him have this conflict. We thought about it before you came here, but you coming here with that idea, this is not that. It's not that type of
party. Yeah, he kind of turned it into a bit of a dick measuring contest. And I think
it's not Fast Five.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, you know, I think he was trying to do fan service. I think he was trying to play to the fans and get them on his side.
So we're, heavy.
Yeah, because he knew what the fans wanted. And he's like, we're going to radically change the DNA of the DC universe, right? And everybody's like, oh, shit, The Rock said it, bro. This man smashes people on my TV. He said it.
Let's go.
And so everybody was like, you know, and he overestimated the worth of having, you know, a bunch of fandom on your side, I think, when it's like, they're not in the boardroom, dude. Like, you might get a lot of retweets and people going, oh, you're the greatest on Twitter and Instagram and shit. Because that's his bread and butter. You know, every day he's in there in the gym going, I'm in the gym, I've been doing this, and I just want to say, go out there and live your dream. You know, and everybody's like, man, this guy's tight.
Okay, but first off, one thing, Ibrahim's Rock is really, really good. Yeah, I love it. The Rock's in the facts. Shit. Secondly, you're right. He's so self-centered, he didn't realize that DC doesn't give a fuck about fans.
No.
This ain't the company. They don't care. They don't care. They don't give a fuck.
They just need at all.
Well, yeah, we saw them bend once with Snyder, right?
And they're never going to do that again.
And, but even then, they found a way to make it work for themselves, because they were trying to launch HBO Max, and they said, "Okay, you want to watch it?
You watch it 6 hours slog," and they put it right there. Like, think about it. If there wasn't a streaming, that would have stayed. Like, isn't there a Trank version of Fanforstic that I heard?
Yeah,
this like. I mean, I think it's a little lip service, you know. I think he's just because it comes from him. He said, "Oh, there's a version that's, you know, because it's such a awful." When I say Fanforstic, I mean the Fantastic.
We know. Clarity on that.
I know some people like, they was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Yeah, exactly."
But just showing the poster.
But again, like Eve said, that's not profitable enough for them to throw that on a streaming service,
right?
And help out there. But that was Snyder Cut is.
Yeah, and that was also, I mean, you got to figure that came out 2021, right? So it's like we had a year of the pandemic, like to the day.
Almost. Oh, yeah, to sit and watch something like that.
Right, and also like because people weren't getting in theaters and they weren't able to make money off of their theatrical releases the way that they had initially slated to, they said, let's give everybody this thing. Everybody's got to pay $15 a month or whatever to see this. And it was kind of the perfect thing to keep their name in everybody's mouth. Nice. And nobody was going anywhere, you know.
Right.
Yep. They had to be part of that party, not just D-Nice. They're right. Like, okay, we need something. That, you know, they had the Jordan Doc. Like, we were like, it was almost harkening back to the 90s. We're all watching the same thing at the same time. Yep. It was one of those moments.
Now, that's now, true. That was like the, yes. I mean, that hadn't happened that's in a long time.
Everything now is personal choice. I can watch this when I want to in the middle of the night, watch this episode from 10 years ago now with, you know, with personal choice in the digital age. But not, but the pandemic and those things that came out, they made it like everybody was watching the Jordan Doc. Everybody was watching Tiger King. Everybody was watching D-Nice.
That's true.
Everybody's watching the pure version of Versus, not that new thing. The pure, you know what I'm saying? So, and then we were all interacting with each other because we're all stuck inside. Yeah. And yes, the Snyder Cut was a great way for them. Like, hell, we need something. Well, because if not, just people not going to the movies. Oh, nah. Like even Tom Cruise had to bend. You know what I'm saying? And he was staunch. He was yelling at people on the set. You know, he was wilding off. And I was, yo, when I heard that rant, there was the, you know, most rants, you're like, yo, they kind of wilding. I was like, no, Tom is right.
You know, it's interesting though. We talked about that with Janelle, and she was down in Atlanta doing like the safety protocol stuff for Marvel Studios, I believe, right?
Yeah, she was.
That's dope. And she was like, you know, that man is traveling with an entourage of 100 people. You know, like she said, everybody on these sets is so like, you know, working really hard to maintain all these safety protocols. He didn't need to do all that. That was for his own like PR stuff. And I was like, man,
okay, fair enough. I really wanted to be like, this was, but I get it. And it's Tom Cruise, it worked. It's like, this was such a house of toothpicks that if anybody had gotten sick, I remember they were explaining how they would, when they were doing like face-to-face scenes, and the camera was over somebody's shoulder, one person would be wearing a mask, you know, and the camera, and then when they flip, they switch. And I didn't know they were really going for it. And then when you would see the behind the scenes, you would notice, all right, they don't have masks, but everybody else around, and they have space and stuff. So,
and you know, working really hard. People needed to hear that. So regardless of how genuine it was, I'm not mad that it happened, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny. I'm just trying to make the point of like, if you mess this thing up, we all have to go home, and we were all just home. And this, you know, people need the movies or whatever.
Right.
Yes.
As soon as he said, so their kids can go to college, I thought, come on, bro. You never thought about college. What are you talking about? That's when I knew it was a bit performative. I said, you know.
Oh, yeah. He definitely pulled his little pocket square out with the folded paper. Yeah. Like, we don't have to mention.
You may have filmed at a college, sir. But,
oh, no. He's there. Yeah, he's anti. He's
reeling in. Reeling in.
He definitely has the honorary doctorate.
Right.
Yeah. Somehow.
The little soccer jumping out of planes and shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
So you got the DC. Did DC shoot themselves in the foot as far as actors are concerned? Like, will Peter Gunn be able to like bring some people back, considering what's going on? I mean, I'm sure we can see Dave Bautista in a, you know.
Yeah, he might switch teams. I think there's a wide slate, and the way that they've done these superhero movies is open to like anybody. Like Sterling K. Brown could be in one. Like they've made it where. And if not on a movie scale, you can be on the TV shows, which are now almost movie scale. I heard the budgets are very similar.
Yeah.
And I think they've opened it wide where it's like, so Dre, say this first swatch that he's wiped out. Okay. Now we either recast or now we could focus on some other characters that are a little more interesting. And you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine a Plastic Man movie. All the kids would be wearing the Plastic Man outfit on a Halloween. He had the stupid glasses. The CGI would be weird as hell. It'd be better than Avatar. And
what's hilarious about that is, man, if you said that a few years ago, I'd have been like, they'd never go for it. But then he made the Suicide Squad movie that he made.
Right.
With fucking Polka Dot Man.
Yeah. And people were like, one of the best characters.
That's true. Yeah.
Because not only was he funny when you could make it practical, when you saw the things bulging out his neck, like, oh. Like, okay, this is not funny anymore because his things are coming out of his skin, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and I will say, I didn't care for that movie at all, but I respect that he was able to take a lot of these, you know, tertiary characters.
Wait, did you see the first Suicide Squad?
I did. Now,
give me the one character with the head blown up. What was his name?
I knew this like 2 days ago.
Adam Beach's character? Right?
No, yeah, he did the one scaling of one wall. And
the rough dude.
And his name was like Ripcord or something.
Was it Ripcord? I'm Googling.
I remember that because I was like, I like that actor.
But then when the new one came out and they had the instant deaths, I said, okay, see, this is exactly how you do something.
Well, this is how that you was show the it. Thing. David Ayer, who directed that film, he was on, I'm not really on Twitter anymore, but he was on Twitter when people were talking about the Snyder Cut, and he's kind of went through, because he got tired of people talking about it and comparing his cut and saying James Gunn, and he was like, oh, I love James Gunn, but, and he kind of went through what his story was and how it got changed by Warner Brothers. And what he described, I wish I would have saved it somewhere, what he described sounds so much better than the film that
this is the man who wrote Training Day, man.
Right. You know? It was so much better. Wow. And it was like, you know, it had nothing to do with, I forgot the young lady who was the model. What, Carla? She was like
Enchantress.
The Enchantress. Right.
That was whack, yo.
No, it definitely said, Drake, to your point, it definitely seemed like, it seemed like, what did they call it? Executive interference. This person's idea is in there, and this person brings this character. And
the studio changed the film itself so much that it didn't realize the story that he had built. And so even in him describing, like, this was this, and this, like, he explains the little holes of, like, to the point where there were scenes, and I actually went back and looked, and he was like, this person is in the back of this scene because this happened. And you're like, oh, wait, like, it was totally different.
Yeah, there's a lot of slash cuts. When they go to fight those faceless people, and they make their way up, and even Diablo, like, okay, you have the greatest power, and you beat her sidekick, and then you die.
Right.
There's something missing.
Right.
Something was missing.
There was a ton of stuff in that film that got changed. And so I'm wondering if going forward with this new CEO at WB Discovery, he has his own ego, as everybody should when they're a CEO, when they get that high up. He has his own ego. He has his own agenda. And he brings in James Gunn, and I'm going to keep messing up this guy's name. Peter Safran. So he brings in these two guys to do, you know, this new universe. I'm wondering at what point does he start pointing and picking?
Yeah, because the whole thing with Suicide Squad with the Ayer version was that Deadpool came out right before, and it was so successful, and because it was a comedy and it broke the fourth wall and stuff, they said, we got to make this funny. So that was a lot of the reshoots and retooling of Suicide Squad, was to make it funnier and punchier, right? So I am wondering if that is the one good thing, at least. I mean, I don't want to naysay James Gunn's interference already.
I think there's a fear of failure. Like, I could take it back to, like, okay, so you have, like, as an executive, Tartikoff, right? And, like, or Spelling, where everything works, right? That you don't really hear about the duds. They sweep them under the rug real quick. They have, like, a couple of pilots or one season, and you don't even hear about when they put their name on a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? But I think that was the halcyon days. Like, everything's not a smash hit. So if you're not afraid to fail or try, then you're not going to even go past that creative bubble, because you're going to say, oh, well, the demographics and the test audiences tell us, if we go here with this, we'll lose this much money, so let's not even try. Whereas an audience can surprise you.
Well, DC can't fail now, right?
Yeah.
That's how they feel. They can't
fail. Yeah.
And the thing about it is, because they can't fail, but Marvel has had failures.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Marvel just had failures.
Marvel's had failures as far as story. Marvel, you know, they
villains,
retcon stuff.
Villains a little watered down. Yeah.
They've had their, and I say failures as in, because the budgets, I mean, the money's always rolling in, but they've had failures as far as fans not really liking. I mean, the Inhumans.
That was awful.
Oh, right.
I just watched two videos on it, breaking it down. It was, like, awful.
Right. Awful. They've had these kinds of failures where, I mean, technically, and if you ask Jon Favreau, Iron Man 2 was a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why he left. That's why he's like, I'm not directing another one. I can't deal with
messing with. And the villains in MCU, they're problematic. They don't always work.
Right. But that's the thing is that
you have a yellow jacket.
But that's the thing is, if DC is fighting, they're scared of the failure.
Yes.
They're scared of the failure. So that's why they don't want a failure. They get scared of it. Marvel will keep throwing. Marvel will keep going.
Yep. Yeah. Like, look at that. Look at this. Look at the saga of Incredible Hulk. You have one that comes out of nowhere with our man Banner and Ang Lee, which I actually like that one. I love how it looks. But the Absorbing Man was awful. Then you restart it up with Ed Norton. He's the type wanting to input himself and write things. We don't want, and they knew early on. We don't want nobody is doing that. Terrence Howard. We don't want nobody that's in, in that type of realm of trying to change things. We're not really, we have a 10-year plan. We need you to read the words on the paper. And that's
Edgar Wright on Ant-Man, right? Edgar Wright on Ant-Man.
Exactly. Yep, they pulled him out of there too. And so the thing about like the Hulk shit, we should have never saw another Hulk if you go by movie logic with money. Two movies, recasting twice, the third time. You should never see a Hulk just based on like movie logic. Mm-hmm. But it's like, well, still a good character. Now we'll just massage him in to other movies and never give him a solo because we lost the IP.
They had the benefit of doing this at a time when there were a lot of comic book movies, but they were disparate. So it wasn't expected to be a large ongoing
Not a yearly schedule.
And every also, Spawn and they were like to use the basketball analogy again, they were like a rebuilding team at that point, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. And now they have so many wins that we go, sorry, you'll get them next time. Don't worry about
The thing too, let's really talk about this because me and Em were actually talking about this the other day. So Ambush loves Thor the Dark World.
Everyone else,
I like that movie too, actually.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about their failures for real. Cause like that's I like Iron Man 3, and that's a movie everyone
hates. That one too. Geez. I don't like that one.
So we have a board of people right now where it's a mix of people who love some of the failures and hate some of the failures.
Yeah.
The quote unquote failures. So it's like at that point, are they really failures? Like I can bet you there's plenty of people who love Thor Love and Thunder, like deeply, like who love it.
Yeah.
See, like I know people
that
don't dig
none of the Guardians movies, either one.
Right.
They didn't like that. They didn't like that bent.
And to Edo's point, like I don't think I think like Thor Dark World was like they lost the game, but I thought there was a good hustle, and you know what I mean? Like they had a couple good threes, you know what I mean?
They got back on the board.
They were low on turnovers. It just wasn't their game, you know what I mean?
Like, a moral victory.
Exactly. Because that's the Thor that I like. I like more Game of Thrones and Space Thor. I don't you know, I'm not about the
but him talking that high end Greek.
Yeah, I want him doing that Thor speak, like, man.
I love that. I love that shit.
I want him saying shit like
smashing goblets and like
I want
him
saying shit like be whilst. You know what I'm saying?
I would love for him to go into a coffee shop back with the ego and stuff with the head with the helmet with the wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decaf. Thor doesn't like smash it. I would love to
see it again.
Exactly. And so Ragnarok, while I think it's a great movie, like it's not the version of Thor that I want. I don't want him going, oh, because I like snakes and he knows that. And so he uses the snake. You know what I mean? Like, that's not Thor to me, but I recognize it's a great movie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think DC.
And we might get a visit of that because the Hercules coming to fight him. Definitely. He might have to revert back to, you know, Norse.
I think DC has a slim window here for success. And from what I'm hearing, the conversations of Robert Pattinson's Batman becoming part of the main DCEU, it's like the window of success that you have, you're about to fuck it up.
See, Joker, that's what they,
yeah. Joker being fine over here, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
The Batman being fine over here,
yes. I love the Joker. I hate that he went to the gate and there was Bruce Wayne. What did he do that for?
Listen,
like, why?
It's a multiverse. Valid. I'm good.
This is the problem that they do. And
the pearls in the alley. Like, why?
Warner Brothers does this way more than the Marvel stuff has ever done it, where they go like, hey, you like this thing, right? What about before it was cool? And you go, wait, hold up. They go, here's 10 years of him not being Superman. And you go, but I mean, okay, I, you know.
Like, or, that's Gotham in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly. Gotham is the same way. But, so for me, I didn't even see Joker because I was like, I don't care about the Joker if he's not fighting Batman. That's just not my personal.
But it was, I'll give you the summary. It was like the Joker way earlier creating what would become crazy ass Gotham in Tim Burton land. Like, he was like the catalyst of Gotham devolving into what Tim Burton did.
Yeah.
Even more so than the Christian Bale ones. Because it's like that, it was just like, he was the first villain, and they used him as like the first, like Apocalypse or something like that. Then you could have other Jokers way down the line, 20, 30 years or whatever.
It was Taxi Driver.
It definitely was.
I've heard that. And I'll probably watch it at some point, but I just like
was. They didn't have to tie it in directly. They did not have to tie it in directly.
See, and that's the thing. They can't resist.
You know,
and then that fucks up the continuity of everything. The X-Men movies did that too. They just were like, what if we put this character in the background? And then they bring him in 3 movies later, and you're like, he's a different age. That's not the same actor. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right. They did whatever they wanted with
Colossus. They should have killed me the other time.
The second wave with McAvoy and Fassbender. Oh, they age great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 30 years. They didn't even get gray. Yeah. He didn't go bald to the last one. They did great. Because the first version, they were struggling. Picard and Homeboy, they were like real old and fast.
Yeah.
You know, when they brought him back, covering them all up. They didn't even have their neck because they would show that, you know, the neck.
The gristle. When they brought him back in Doctor Strange, I was like, ooh, buddy. Don't have him moving too much.
Yeah, and I like him. Yeah, you're right. With liver spots, like that makeup wasn't working. Like, you know, discoloration on the face now.
Bro, they have killed that man 3 times in these movies.
Yes,
he's dying.
Wait, what about when Phoenix disemboweled him into like little globules? Why did they do that to him? Like,
it was so unnecessary.
It was very much the chair went, everything poof. Like, what is he turned into dust? His chair, they didn't even leave the chair there. Like, come on,
I keep killing this poor old man. Like, oh my god.
He's just trying to take care of kids, man. Let him
let him rock out, man. Y'all all fighting him and stuff. Yeah.
So we're gonna make a little prediction to close out the show, close out the episode. We're gonna let's do on a scale of 1 to 5. He hasn't announced the full slate yet, right? James Gunn? He hasn't announced it yet?
No, nothing yet.
On a scale of 1 to 5, what do you guys think about DC this next phase? Well, like prediction. Do you think you're gonna love it or not? Ada, you go ahead and start.
Can you come back to me?
Andre.
I'm going to, am I gonna love it or not? I'm not gonna love it. Not gonna love it. I think Superman will be better than I expected.
Mm.
I don't have any expectations for it.
Okay.
I think Superman will be better than I expected. I think something's gonna happen within those films that something is gonna be pretty good and they're gonna follow the leads. I don't know if it's Blue Beetle, which has a film, or there's gonna be a character in Superman that's gonna help like carry it. But I think overall that first phase of DC is not gonna work because Marvel's next phase is gonna be so much better.
Right.
And that's what they're really gonna contend against the competition of those other films. And I think the next phase is probably gonna lift Marvel so much that the comparisons will just not stop. Mm-hmm. So 1 to 5, I think the next phase will probably I'll give them a 2.5.
Okay. All right. Ibrahim.
Yeah, so there's a phenomenon over the last few years I've noticed on the internet that I like to call WAVE, White American Vernacular English. And that is stuff like saying all of the feels and I did a thing and this and nom noms and shit like that, right? And I think James Gunn's movies are going to be just filled to the brim with waves.
To try to recapture that audience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and because I think he is just like, that's his style of humor. Like your name is Taserface? Like, that was the dumbest shit I've, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that works for a lot of people. And so those people are going to be very happy, and I'm happy that they will be happy, right? Because we all need more joy in the world. I will be very curmudgeonly about it, and that's just the way it's going to be for me. You know what I mean? I've accepted that. I'll just go watch The Mask of Zorro over and over again. You know
what I'm saying? You cannot beat Antonio. Never.
So yeah, I think it'll be successful. I think James Gunn, whether I like his style or not, is a proactive filmmaker and creator, and I think that that's what Warner Brothers has needed because they've just been reactive this whole time,
right?
And so you know, hopefully they let him stay in the driver's seat, because that's my thing. I didn't care for Snyder's version of those characters. But I'm like, let him finish the trip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Amen.
So, you know, I hope he gets to see it through. I hope he hires good people. I hope they're able to find a groove and ride it. And then, you know, because it only helps the sort of like ecosystem that is my job. So I'm like, shit. Right. You know, a rising tide raises all ships. So I hope for the best, but I expect to not be entertained that much.
Okay. Castro.
I have a caveat. Like, I would reserve judgment because I think one big thing needs to happen first. I don't know how, because I don't know if they've even done it yet, the way Pacemaker looks or Suicide Squad. Whatever that sheen was, get rid of that thing. It DC movies can't look that much different. If they want to have a different texture, so be it. Mm. But I think there was a big focus on, okay, this is the matte and the the film and the lens we use, they're using the Marvel movies. We're not using those. We're using this. You know what I'm saying? And I remember the big change when the new Star Trek got rebooted and Homeboy was like going crazy with the flares. Like, mm-hmm. to the point I had to cover my face, but he would do it all the time when they're in the transporter room.
What's
when they're
in, guy's name?
Yeah,
Abrams.
Abrams. When they're in the cafeteria, it's flares coming off the coffee mugs or whatever. I'm like, oh my God. So whatever aesthetic they establish, as long as it doesn't have that sheen, then I can have a different opinion about DC moving forward. If it resembles how those things look, I guess I like how Wonder Woman looked. I was a really big fan of Wonder Woman. Yeah. Wonder Woman 84 really let me down. But I really liked what they kind of established with her and using time as their friend. She was around in the 30s or whatever. Nobody else has to be around. You can make a movie like that. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to keep crossing over because time is your friend when it comes to these characters. So if they can reboot or establish their aesthetic that doesn't rely on that weird look on screen, then it'll help me reconfigure how I used to think of DC. You know what I'm saying? Like, they did try with Fantastic. Fantastic Four is the first two had that look, you know, smiling Chris Evans and, you know, beautiful whatever her, I can't remember her name right now. But everybody was like, they look good. Even Chicklets look good. Like, these are good looking Americans playing Fantastic Four, as they well should. Fantastic was like, it was like sepia toned and they're all like gritty hackers. They got laptops and, you know what I'm saying? So, but it definitely changed. I don't think about the old Fantastic Fours. I think about Four Sticks. So, if DC is able to do that as a baseline, just to give us a different aesthetic look, then I think then it'll show us that they're dedicated to, like, yo, we're scrapping this and we're going to come with a better product. Because at least that they're saying, like, all right, that wasn't a good look. And that as like a watermark or as our identity, we got to leave that in the past. Same way with like Nolan's, like, okay, we got the Tim Burton Batman. Mine ain't like that. Mine is going to be, what does he need to go? He needs to go to arms dealers and get with these people to actually make these things. And you know what I'm saying? And overbuy tons of steel to make little batarangs so nobody asking the questions. Practicality. And he stuck with that. And now we know, you know, I am Batman, whatever, but we know him to be like a real live guy. You know what I'm saying? Right. As opposed to being two superheroes.
Real quick, scale of 1 to 5, Ebe.
For everybody else, I'm gonna say 4 and a half. For me, as you know, probably 1-2.
Okay. Castro, scale of 1 to 5.
I'm gonna look low and hopefully aim high. I'm gonna say 2, and I just want them to surprise me. So I'll just be I'm bracing for the worst.
Ada,
I'm like a deep cut DC fan. Like, DC is. It's Transformers and DC Comics for me. Like, those are my things. So I want to be excited, but I've continually been disappointed. And we're stepping into what I like to call phase one syndrome. Marvel has had to go through it twice, where your first phase is a little bit shoddy. And phase four was another phase one syndrome moment where, like, they had to kind of just reset and, like, get their footing back again. And it's not always the worst, but it's phase one syndrome and you have to figure things out. And DC is dealing with phase one syndrome for their second time, and their phase one syndrome last time was not very good, and they're doing it again. And it's always really awkward. It's growing pains. It's weird. And you're dealing with DC going through phase one syndrome as Marvel is going back into phase two syndrome, which is great.
So you're saying they got POS right now.
Right. Yeah. Yes. they're growing up. They're figuring it out. So as that happens, I like James Gunn. I do. But again, you're putting a director at the in a position where you need to have like someone who's not worrying about films. And that has shown to fail every time. So I guess I'm gonna be honest, as a fan, I'm like at a 2.5. I'm at a two.
Okay.
I also want to add, if DC is willing to make mistakes, like we're saying, then what Dre's point is, there can be a side character that is enticing. There could be a Hawkeye who's the third character, and now you figure out, oh, we can make a movie with this guy because the the fan base is leaning into him, like way everybody like Frozone yelling at his wife.
Yeah.
Frozone toys. You know what I'm saying? Then now the audience feels involved and like, oh, they're listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be a background character. But if they're afraid that, oh, every character, every lead has to be this, that, and the third, then we might miss those moments.
I'm gonna give it a two. I don't have any faith in leadership over at DC simply because the way they'll I agree that they'll quickly pivot if they don't see a win within these first two films, period. Yeah. James Gunn might be out. In addition to that, it went from, again, Matt Reeves being like, this is separate. I am not fucking with the main continuity. I'm also going to have a GCPD TV show. I'm going to have a Penguin TV show. And now, because of the success of that, leadership is like, why don't you come over here? Like, there's no consistency in their own game plan. Yeah, I'm not hearing anything. No leaks, nothing that I'm excited about at all. And so even if you start to roll out some shit that's like, oh, this might be able to work. If the toys don't sell and it doesn't move fucking Happy Meals, Discovery is going to be like, and we're going to switch gears again. So like, I'm going to say like 1.52 on some.
Yeah. And keep in mind too, Henry Cavill was not really Superman. And then he was, and then literally a week later, he was not anymore. So like
The Witcher.
Who knows what is even going to stick with that they announce anyway, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're in such a transitional period, and it really is like they're just a bunch of people who just heard like, you know, that stock's about to go up, and so they buy a bunch of it.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't go up and they're like, offload it, you know what I mean? Like it just changes constantly, so it's like, who, you know, you can't really put much into it anyway at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, man, thank y'all so much. This was an incredible episode. Incredible episode. First episode of 2023. I'm pretty sure DC will give us more to talk about moving forward. But hopefully I will see you guys back in this space with something else to discuss other than DC's fuck-ups. That'd be great.
True that.
Indeed.
Thank you so much. All right, catch y'all on the next one. Hey, you're still here. That's what's up. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate every single listen we get. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on all social media. You can listen to us on the platform of your choice. We are there. And if you're so inclined, please rate the show and write a review. We appreciate all types of feedback from any of our listeners. All right, catch you on the next one. Peace.